Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is wonderful to have you company for another episode of our show. Now, if you have been tuning in for the last few weeks, you'll know that we've been working on a top secret program that we've just let out of the bag. And that top secret project has been the Savvy Dentist Magazine, which we're so delighted to have launched. The Savvy Dentist Magazine is designed to be the sister publication for our podcast. It's been rattling around in my head as an idea ever since we released the podcast. The podcast has had, over 400 episodes, well over 600,000 downloads. And the magazine is designed to accompany the podcast. It's built on the idea that as the marketplace becomes more sophisticated, as our needs as business owners grow, we need to move beyond traditional practice management teaching, traditional practice management paradigms, and embrace the best of what business thinking has to offer. And that means looking outside of dentistry. It means looking at what's happening in the broader business world, incorporating those ideas into the podcast as well as the magazine. So the magazine is going to have editorial from, you know, recognized leaders in their field. We're going to be having interesting stories about leadership development, accounting, finance, marketing, HR people, property, tax, all those sorts of things. But we're also going to be looking outside at other industry leaders from other fields and incorporating their lessons into what makes sense from a dental perspective. So we're very excited about the magazine. It's going to come out in seasons. So the winter edition has just been launched. It's going to be available in a digital format as well as a print format from edition two. So edition one is going to be digital only. And from edition two, we're going to have print as well. So all you need to do is to head across to the Savvy Dentist website. So SavvyDentist.com, hit the magazine button there and subscribe. It's totally free. There's nothing to pay, whether it's a digital magazine or a print one. It's going to come to you as a gift from us. And we hope that you find that really helpful. What we've long believed is that there is a space in the market for a magazine dedicated exclusively to the business of dentistry, and that's what this magazine does. There's nothing clinical in there. It is all about how to run your practice, how to achieve your outcomes for your business and indeed for your life, and using your business as a vehicle to get there. So we're really excited to welcome you to that. Now, my guest today is a leadership expert, and I've been talking to Kylie Denton on the podcast, and she's been sharing some wonderful insights about how to develop our own leadership of ourselves, how to develop our leadership of teams, and of course, how to then nurture and develop other leaders in the business. And what we've got to understand that is if we're going to have any success in our practice, it's going to be correlated to how well we can build and lead a team, because we've got to learn to be able to work with people and through people rather than against people. And one of the challenges that dentists, like many other small business owners, face is how do I build a team? I'm really confident in my clinical skills, but now I've got to learn how to build a team. If I want to have any success in business, I've got to master these skills. And so Kylie shares a whole bunch of things. She's going to share with us a scorecard to self-assess, which you'll find in the show notes. She's going to be sharing us a model called the IDEA model and a whole lot more. So this episode is packed with pearls of wisdom that I know are going to be really practical, really actionable, and as always, have a pen and paper handy, because what she shares is just pure gold. You're going to absolutely love it. So without any further ado, let's get onto our podcast with Kylie Denton. Kylie Denton, welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It is wonderful to have your company, coming to us all the way from Brisneyland, Brisbane, of course. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to being on the show today.
Well, I've been looking forward to talking to you because I think the work that you do about helping people develop teams, lead those teams is really critical. And oftentimes in any business, I assume, but certainly in dentistry, we often find the art or the practice of dentistry the easy part, but building the team the challenging part. So I'm really keen to explore that. But before we get into that conversation, I wanted to ask a bit about your background, because you've got a real pedigree in leadership training, you've got a real pedigree in advisory and coaching work. How did you find your way into that space?
Yeah, gosh, I could take you back to when I first started. I first started into financial services back in 1990, or the back end of 1989. And I was really inspired by some of the leaders that I worked with. And I was on this just career path of just wanting to be a leader myself. I remember seeing my dad when I was younger as this leader, and I just wanted to continue to grow and grow and grow. And I ended up becoming a financial advisor. So I was doing financial advising for a number of years. And I was studying, while I was doing financial advising, I was studying my psych degree. And it was through my psych degree that I realized that actually what I really loved doing was actually helping leaders to be the best leader within their industry. Mm. So I focused a lot around financial services because I'd had so many years experience. All of my clients literally came from financial services because I'd known so many of them. But over the last 10 years, it morphed into different industries where I could coach, develop, and grow leaders through education, through health, through aged care, through financial services, and it just continued to morph into this space of growing and developing leaders. And I use my background of leadership, but I also use my psych background, which is really what do we need people to do differently in order to make them great. So it went from financial advising right through to leadership to right through to now running my own company, which is 11 years this August.
Oh, well, congratulations. That's fantastic. Yeah. That's quite the milestone. Well done, you.
It is. It's exciting.
And you've got your new office, which is awesome as well. And we're talking a bit off air about that. So that sounds like a fun thing as well.
Yeah.
Kylie, I wanted to just start the conversation by asking about leadership in general, the different stages of leadership and so on. And one of the things that I alluded to in the introduction was we often find our craft the easy part because we're in control of it. You know, what happens in the dental surgery in our world, the four walls of the dental surgery, we're in control of. We have confidence in our skills, confidence in our abilities. We've spent many years practicing those things. Then all of a sudden we go, you know what, I'm going to open a business. You know, how hard can it be?
Yeah.
And it turns out it can be pretty tricky, right?
Yeah.
Because there's no learning around business. There's no learning about leadership. There's no learning about people development. And so I wanted to ask you about, you know, having worked with so many people, having been on your own leadership journey and running your own business as well as helping many, many others, where does leadership come unstuck? Where do people typically stumble? What are the things, the common pitfalls or mishaps that you see on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's such a great question because what I often find is we're great technicians, we're great practitioners, we're great at what we did, our craft, like you, isn't it? We're a great dentist, we're a great doctor, we're a great financial advisor, we're great at that. And then what happens, because we're great at that, someone says, you should be a leader. You should now manage a team. And then we manage a team and we're like, oh, my God, I actually don't get to do the technical skills that I used to do. Now I have to lead a team. I have to inspire a team. I have to grow a team. I have to develop a team. And people are complex, aren't they? Mm. So what happens is we're great at what we do, so people put us into a leadership role, but no one's actually taught us how to be a leader. No one's taught us how to manage underperformance, how to lead change, how to have a collaborative culture, how to provide feedback that inspires and motivates. And then we wonder why we're not very good at it, or why we have staff that are disengaged or not happy or not productive. You know, leadership is really complex. It's not that you can just because you know your role, you should know how to lead people. People are complex. I had a background in psych and I know how complex people are. You put them in a team of people with different personalities, different ways of thinking, diversity of cultures, and we wonder why not everyone's on the bus. So for me, you know, what's really important is, yes, we might have technical skills and we might know how to run a business and we might know how to read a P&L and we might know how to develop a strategy or understand the financial impacts, but it's the people that get the results, okay? So we can have all these beautiful foundations laid, but if we don't actually develop and grow and provide a real framework or structure for the people, then how do we get to where we're going? So I think that's where it falls down, is that people are complex and no one's ever shown them how to lead people. And the reality of it is there's so many tools and models and frameworks that help leaders to do this, but no one's shown them how to do it.
If I could, I guess in my mind, summarise that for my thinking is, for us to have success in business, our degree of success is going to be correlated to how well we're able to build and lead that team, correct? Because we've got to learn to work through and with people rather than kind of, pushing people, etc. We've got to be able to bring them on that ride with us. I spent many years in the Navy as a dentist. I graduated, and my first 10 years of practicing life were in the Navy. And in the Navy, it was a matter of whoever had the most stripes on their shoulder, basically, was the leader. Yeah, very positional, rank-based leadership. And it assumed that that person had all the knowledge and was a bit of a command and control, Russell Crowe, master and commander,
all that
kind of stuff. I wanted to ask you how in the modern world leadership has changed, because I still think that hierarchical model of leadership persists in some way, shape or form, and does it still serve us? Is it useful? Does it have a place, or is it thoroughly outdated? And I guess what I'm trying to understand is, just because I'm a practice owner, as you said, doesn't necessarily mean I'm the best leader in the practice, and it's a skill I've got to learn and develop. So I just wanted to talk about that positional situation for a minute.
Yeah. Look, I absolutely agree. 10 years ago, maybe 15 years ago or longer, it was around command and control. So I'm the leader. I tell you what to do. You do what I say, okay? There's no discussion entered into, as I know best, because I'm the leader, okay? Whereas to me, and I just recently was asked to co-author a book around leadership, and that was a point I made, is that we used to have this command and control, whereas what I'm really seeing, especially over the last 10 years, that it is more around empowerment and collaboration. So how do we empower our people, okay, and then how do we help them to collaborate and work with others in order to achieve, okay? So for me, it's how do we make sure we've got these right foundations in place for leaders to be able to take their team on a journey. So there are some real clear steps that leaders need to do, or business owners need to do, or division leaders need to do. It doesn't matter whether or not you're a business owner, whether you're a leader in a department, a leader of an organization, or a leader of leaders. There's some real clear foundations and steps that we have to make sure are in place in order for that team or business to be successful. But most don't know how to do that because they've never been shown.
If no one shows you, obviously, if no one showed you how to be a dentist, no one would expect you to be competent in dentistry. But if no one shows you how to be a leader, by virtue of the fact that you're good at something, therefore you should be good at everything, just because I'm smart and competent as a dentist doesn't necessarily make me smart and competent in other elements of business, right? There's some skills to develop. Yeah, there's some practices to obtain. What sort of practices and skills need to be developed as people figure out their way on that leadership pathway?
Yeah. So what I often find, and exactly to your point, is people know what they should be doing. They know why they should be doing it. They know when and where and who they should be doing it with. But what I find is people struggle with the how. How do I go about it? How do I set a vision? How do I set a mission? How do I set goals and objectives and all of that? So I often find that's the how where people get stuck. And when people don't know how to do something, what normally happens is they just don't do it.
Yeah.
Because what if I get it wrong? What if I don't do it right? What if my staff become disengaged? What if my staff become unproductive? What if my staff aren't happy? So, look, I look at leadership in two different ways. I look at one is, what as a leaders we need to have certain skills, okay, and then we also need to have certain capabilities or competencies, okay. So skills are things around being able to define a vision, being able to develop accountability and resilience and collaboration and trust and communicate, okay? But capabilities are things like the how do I set a vision and a mission and goals and objectives in order for my team to understand the role they play. So I'll just expand on that a little bit more, okay, because I think it might make a little bit more sense, especially for your listeners. You know, most of the time business owners have a really clear vision. They know where they're going. They have a really clear mission. They know why they're trying to achieve that. Like, there's a purpose to that. They also might know what their goals are for the organization, okay, whether that be through revenue, whether that be through patients, whether that be through referrals, whatever it might be, okay? So it's really important for the company to have that. But the next leverage or the next part that falls from that is how does your team, what role does your team play in that vision, in those goals, with that mission, with those objectives? You know, a lot of the time we set them, but we don't help the people understand the role they play in them. So I run, say, strategy days, two-day strategy workshops with organizations where we're helping to set vision, mission, purpose, but then we're also setting what are our five big goals and what teams come under those goals. If we don't help the people understand the role they play in into where we're trying to go as an organization, they'll just continue being busy doing what they're doing with no real clear focus on where they're going. So it's really important that we break those goals down into quarters and then we break those goals down into people so people then can start to strive and achieve for where we're going.
My experience is a lot of people go to work not really knowing what they're doing and how that impacts the greater vision or the goals of the business. So if we don't have that clearly defined or communicated, then people are going to work ticking a box almost. I've done what I think I need to do.
Exactly.
And my second part is that I don't know I've met anyone, maybe someone exists somewhere, that goes to work and doesn't really want to do a good job. Most people I know are inherently wired to do a good job. The problems arise then if that's not clearly communicated what a good job looks like and how that's going to make a difference to the organization or the people whom we're serving and so on. So it feels to me like that as leaders, our job is to define those things, bring people into that conversation, show them what their role is, but also on a day-by-day basis, here's your activities and responsibilities that need to be achieved to support that. Is that a reasonable assessment?
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. And then, you know, helping them to I'd even break it down just one step further by also helping to set goals for that team. So if we think about a dental practice, you've probably got a practice manager, you've got the administration staff, you've probably got a marketing manager. What other teams would you have within?
You would possibly have or you would have some dental assistants, the chairside assistants.
Perfect.
You might have some dental hygienists or dental therapists. You'd have other dentists working there. So the clinical team and then the support team broadly.
Then the support team. So when we think about our vision and mission, even what is our vision? So we'd have that for an organization at a company level. But then what's our vision for the administration team? You know, what are they hoping? What's our vision for the actual dentistry team? Okay. And then what part do they both play in order to achieve the overarching goal? So I could work with an organization where the company's vision, mission is already detailed. It's clear. It's on their website. But then we might do it for the call center. Then we might do it for the sales team. Then we might do it for the distribution team, the support team, whatever it might be. You could have financial planning team. Doesn't matter, whatever it is. Everyone then drip feeds it down to, well, what's our purpose? What do we want to do? What's our goals that are going to help us achieve the broader goals? And that's where they get that bit stuck, is they forget to drop it down. So everyone's like, how am I going to get to the what part do I play in order to achieve the revenue or the patient numbers or the referrals or whatever it might be? They don't know. And if they don't know, they're just going to keep on doing what they do know.
Yeah.
And not helping us to get to where we want to go. So it's really important that that strategy drip feeds and drops down to those people down below. The people in the below are the ones that actually are doing all that work in order to achieve the top goal.
They're the coalface.
They're the coalface, yeah.
So question I'd like to ask you about is I've heard lots of different people talk about whether or not metrics, accountability, you know, KPIs, all those sorts of things are useful, valuable. Now, I have to declare openly, I'm a numbers analytical kind of person. I live my life on Excel spreadsheets. And so I really like having numbers and metrics and all the rest of it. But I'm also mindful that not everyone shares that view with me. I wanted to ask you about, you know, once we've clarified the vision, the role that people play in that vision, how do you create a culture of accountability? What's your take on that? And because at some point we need the team, you know, candidly, we need the team to perform. Of course, we need to set them up for success and we need to provide the environment, which I'll talk about in a moment. But I wanted to ask you your thoughts around creating accountability in a team. Do you believe in scorecards? Do you see that there's value in that? Or is that just feel like micromanagement?
Okay,
too draconian?
Two points that you're making. I'll start on the accountability part. Is there has to be two-way accountability. So it's just because I'm the leader doesn't mean that my team shouldn't hold me accountable. Okay, so I absolutely want my team to hold me accountable because I don't want to be the bottleneck. Okay, so what I run a workshop on accountability, and what I'm really helping teams to do is get their ways of working around accountability. So how do we want to hold each other accountable? Okay, so for me, I like people to hold me accountable. If they want me to do something, so if anyone in my team wants me to approve something, review something, do something, then they pop it in my calendar at a time with all the links and the documents and everything that they want me to do. If it's in my calendar, that's it. The accountability's there, I'll do it. But as a leader, I want to know, I'm going to ask every single one of my team members, how do you want me to hold you accountable, Jesse? You know, and you might go, can you just follow up with me a couple of days before it's due? Or you might say, look, I like an email. Or you might like to say, can we just catch up once a week and you hold me accountable to these? So what are our ways of working? How do we want to hold each other accountable? How are we going to check in on that? What behaviours would we see if we were holding each other accountable? Mm-hmm. So we don't want to just go, yes, we've got this accountability culture and then I'm too scared to say anything to you, Jesse, because you're my boss, okay? We want to make sure, how do we want to do it? What are we agreeing to? What behaviours would we see? So I even want to get down on the behaviours. So behaviours we would see would be me asking you, Jesse, that don't forget you've got to approve that document for me by Friday. Okay, so you're going to hear me say that. We're going to hear people meeting targets. We're going to hear people getting wins and not being the bottleneck. So what are behaviours would we see? So we want to have a ways of working around accountability, but we also want to set ourselves up for success. Okay, transparency. This is how we're going to do it. The second point to you is, do I believe in KPIs? Okay. Yeah, in some situations I do, if they're appropriate. Okay, so if I'm thinking about financial planners or sales professionals, then yes, or even call center teams that I work with, then yes, we do want to have some KPIs. Is there some key measures that we want to do? Is there something that we can measure? I'm absolutely all for them. But what I'm more for, okay, is helping the person to succeed in their job. To me, it's not just about you didn't meet it. It's how can I help support you in order for you to meet it. I want to set my team up for success. So are the measures achievable? Are they realistic? Are they something that is within their skill set? Do they have the right tools and resources and training and systems to be able to do it? So you can have KPIs, but you got to have you got to have the structure around it to set them up for success.
Perfect. Perfect. No, thank you for that. That makes sense. Sometimes I've noticed with leaders in businesses, they'll often be saying, if only my people could do this, if only this, da, 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 da. And it's a very external perspective, I guess, is what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about the leader's role in this as well. You've spoke about setting people up for success, but But I wanted to talk a bit about self-leadership as well, because I think the first person we need to lead is ourselves, and that's kind of ground zero for leadership.
Yeah.
Have you got any thoughts about how to better lead ourselves, how to show up in the way that we want to show up, how to make sure that we are exhibiting the behaviours that we want others to exhibit? How do we best lead ourselves so that we can be that example for others in our team, in our lives, more broadly?
Yeah, it is a good question. There's probably two points that I'll answer to that is, you know, we used to think of skill and will. We used to look at this, have you heard of that saying before, skill, do they have the skill? If not, let's train them. Do they have the will, that internal motivation? If not, let's move them on, or we get them to get that motivation. I actually think there's a third element to that, and the third element is leadership, okay? So I'm always going, do they have the skill? Yes, they do, okay, or no, they don't. Do they have the will? Yes, they do. No, they don't. But the third one is, as a leader, have I set them up for success? Is there something that I haven't done? Okay. I remember having to let go one of my team probably a bit over a year ago. And I remember taking my dog for a walk, and I was really reflecting on, is it a skill issue? Is it a will issue? Have I done everything that I could as a leader to help set this person up for success? So have I given them the right training, the tools, the resources, the facilities to be successful? Okay. So I think first, as leaders, rather than projecting onto other people, we need to stop and actually have that introspection to say, what else can I do? How else can I help these people to be the best that they can? You know, my theory on leadership or philosophy on leadership is that we're there to grow and support and develop and serve our people in order for them to achieve our goals, yeah? Because they're our goals. I'm sure they didn't come into the business going, I want to achieve this and I want to do that. So how do we best do that? So that would be my first thing. Always reflect on yourself. I run a leadership program, and the first 6 weeks of that leadership program is all around self-leadership, okay? So we're touching on things like, have you got the right habits in place? Okay, have you got those right habits in place to make sure that you're organized and you're planning and that you're structured? The second one is, do you know how to prioritize? The third one is around emotional intelligence. How emotionally intelligent are you, and where do you need to develop, you know, that self-awareness? Do you need to have more of that self-awareness? And then a couple of other components are really, where are your gaps as a leader? So I do I've got a scorecard. So it's an assessment essentially, and it's free, and I can share it with you and your listeners if you like, but yeah, it really measures with leaders around how good are they at communication, how good are they at building trust, at coaching, in innovation, building relationships, and a couple more. So it really looks at, where are my gaps as a leader? What do I need to do? Where do I need to grow before I can actually grow others? I'm a big believer in, how do we grow ourselves in order to grow others? So I run a free workshop every Wednesday around a leadership topic, and we have 7,000 people worldwide coming last year to our workshops. And it really is how do you grow yourself in order to grow others? So how do we first work on ourselves, so that we can then grow the people around us?
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that, because, you know, I think we've got some similar philosophies around the different layers of leadership, you know, lead yourself, lead a team, and then develop other leaders. And I really have found in the past, in my own life, and I think with people we've worked with as well, is that introspection piece is really, really key. But you know, perhaps some people are a little more prone to introspection than others. I'm one of those sorts of people that is a bit prone to that. But for the people who generally have not had much experience on self-reflection or introspection, how do you begin that habit of reflection? Is it a process of, you know, journaling? Is it a process of taking the dog for a walk and thinking? Obviously, there's no one right way to do anything, but for someone who might go, self-reflection, really? What team? what planet are you on, Jesse? What would be an entry point into that?
There's one thing that I learned probably about 16 years ago in leadership, and I was working as an executive coach for an organization, and one of the executives used to force all of the senior leaders to have thinking time, 30 minutes of thinking time every single day. Okay. It was time for me to think about the business. It was time for me to think about my people. It was time for me to think about the culture, our results, what's working, what's not, what do we need to change. It was that moment where I could just sit in that space and think about the business. So it's kind of like working on the business. I read a book a number of years ago from Nancy Klein, and she's a researcher, and she talks about time to think. And she says every CEO or every senior executive should have 1 hour per day of time to think, okay, for reflection time. I haven't found an executive that has 1 hour per day, okay, but I have worked with senior executives, CEOs, C-suites, where they always have 30 minutes a day. And if I don't, we're making sure that it's being put on the business, okay, and in their calendar. So my first thing is take some time, okay? We often think, people have said to me before, I do that in the car, I do that in the shower, I do that as I'm going for a walk, but that's not long enough. That's a thought and then it passes. It's a thought and then it passes. It's really important that this is dedicated time where we ask ourselves those questions. How's my people? How's my business? How's the culture? What's working? What's not? What do we need to do? So that would be my first thing. Mm-hmm. There's also another great tool that I use once I've done that, and then now we apply that to teams. So it's a great tool where we go, what's working? What's not? What do we need to change and what do we need to do differently? And, again, I'm happy to give that in the show notes as well.
Oh, thank you.
But we might do that around what's working about our communication. We might do it about accountability. We might do it about meetings. We could do it about anything we can do, anything we want to do. But essentially we're having that time for ourselves, for reflection and growth, mm-hmm. okay? And then we're actually now sense checking that with our team. How, you know, this is what I think, but what do the team think, okay? Therefore, we're getting this kind of this 360 feedback as opposed to being biased, having that self-bias.
Kyle, there's just a couple of, I guess, logistical questions I've got around that, because the concept of thinking time I love. I practice it, perhaps not as regularly as I ought, but pretty regularly. I wanted to ask you about introducing that into the team, because I think that's a really powerful thing and I'd not thought of it in that context before. What I wanted to ask you is, how does that feedback get filtered back to whoever it needs to be filtered back to? What happens with that feedback or those thoughts? Is it, you know, if you're asking your senior people to do it daily, are you talking to them, I guess, daily or weekly to reflect on the week that was? How does that work? What's that look like? Is it a weekly catch-up, fortnightly catch-up?
Okay, so there's two things that senior leaders or business owners or managers should be doing if they've got leaders or teams under them or people under them. They should be having one coaching session a month.
Yep.
Okay? A coaching session is where the coachee or the employee brings a topic for discussion. That topic for discussion can be anything, mm-hmm. okay? It's their time to spend valuable time with the leader. Then the second part we should be doing is having our one-on-ones. How are you going as a business? Are we tracking? What are the challenges? What are the areas that you're focused on? So essentially we're meeting with our team once a fortnight.
Yep.
Now people say, oh, God, I don't have time to do that. Okay. My question to them is, what's the impact of you not having the time? Okay. That could be we're not hitting our goals, we've got disengaged staff, we've got unproductive, we're not having that continuous improvement culture. So the question then on that is, how do you make time? Because we've got to remember that it's our people that get the results for us. Mm. It's our people that drive the outcomes. So 30 minutes once a month on coaching, 30 minutes once a month where we're talking about that. That would be an operating rhythm that I would want for any business owner. The second part of that is, as a business, how are you checking in with your leaders each quarter as a whole, okay? Around how are we going to strategy? How are we going with our goals, our initiatives? What challenges? Are we still on track? Okay, so that should happen once a quarter. Yeah. And then every single year, all businesses should be making sure that they're setting themselves up with some really clear goals and strategies and initiatives in order to achieve the high-level objectives. So it's a really, it's not just a once-off, it's a real clear operating rhythm around team in order to achieve the goals.
Yeah, I like that, because the thing I find really helpful with that is, again, if you're looking at it, you know, on an annual basis, quarterly basis, monthly basis, fortnightly basis, it's almost like a guardrail situation, yeah, because if we've set our big 12-month goals and we know where we're going and we're having conversations with people on a regular basis, you know, whether it's about how they're going personally or what they want to bring to a mentoring session, a coaching session, but equally about, you know, how the performance of things are going. To me, what I appreciate about that is before we go too far off course, we're getting back on course pretty quickly. We're able to make sure that our best people who might be feeling disgruntled about something or something's happened that's upset them, we can address that early rather than having that fester and impact culture and you know, become a bit of a poisonous substance through the team. So I really like the fact that keeps everyone kind of moving together in direction. From a leadership perspective about setting culture, how do you see the leader's role in establishing culture, maintaining culture, and anything practical that might be useful for people listening to the show to go, oh, that's a really good way of communicating that, or that's a good way of articulating it, or so on and so forth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, culture is absolutely critical for businesses, isn't it? You know, it's the part where people feel good about coming to work. It's the vibe you get. It's the engagement, the happiness of the team. You know, it's that. And you know, you've probably heard, you know, is that culture eats strategy for breakfast. Okay. There's no use, and this is why I'm often working with leaders, is you can have the best strategy, and I look at strategies and I go, oh, that's brilliant, I love it, that's great. Now tell me, where's the initiatives and how's the people? And they go, well, we haven't quite got them there yet. You know, so you don't want to have a great strategy without having a great culture, because you're just not going to get to where you need to go. So it's all of those parts that we want to play into it. So it's what's our ways of working around accountability? What's our ways of working around our meeting operating rhythm? What's our ways of working around coaching, around collaboration, around communication? So if we have ways of working around that sit around that, that forms our culture. Okay, so how are we going to communicate? How are we going to build relationships? How are we going to collaborate? How are we going to hold our meetings? How are we going to set vision? So we've got to set it. We've got to set those behaviours and that those ways of working in order for a culture to be developed. We can't just say, I want a happy and engaged culture without putting the foundations in place. So when you put ways of working in place, that becomes the culture. And if someone isn't doing what they said they were going to do, then we can easily go back to our ways of working around accountability. Okay? Or if someone's not coaching on a monthly basis and that's our ways of working, then we have a discussion around this is how we are, this is what we do in this organization. So set the foundation, set those ways of working, and that becomes the culture of the organization.
Just as we begin to, you know, wrap up the conversation, one of the things that I've noticed that a lot of dental practice owners struggle with, and I'm sure it's not unique to dental practice owners, is about dealing with people when things go wrong. How to address those things, because they get the butterflies in the tummy. They, you know, something's not working, they tend to tolerate things perhaps longer than they ought to without having this rhythm in place so we can, you know, get back on track quickly. For those people that might be listening to this and saying, hey, Kyle, that's awesome, I get it, but I've just got this particular thing that I'm going to need to address before I can reset. Any thoughts or comments about just addressing elephants in room or underperformance or things that just aren't right, but everyone just feels a bit icky and awkward and tiptoes around it?
I talk a little bit about the ways of working and the ways of working around collaboration and communication and accountability, but also there's a ways of working around feedback. We want to have a culture of feedback, don't we? Okay, we want to make sure that feedback is just something we give. It's just something that we do. It's just something that is ingrained in us. But often people look at feedback as negative. Oh, my God, you're going to give me feedback. That's negative. Whereas I develop, especially in my team and within my company, is every single person that I interview, I talk about that we have a culture of feedback and that I'm going to give you feedback. It's going to be motivational. It's going to be developmental. Some of it you might not like to hear. Some of it you're going to love to hear. But my intention is always for the good of the business and for the good of you. Okay. So my intention is not because I don't like you or not because of your personality, it's because of the behavior or something that I want to help you with. Okay. So whenever I give feedback to anyone, whether it be an organization that I'm working with or a team that I'm working with or one of my own team, is they look at feedback as a great thing. Yay, I'm going to get some feedback. It's going to be something Kylie wants to help me. She wants to support me. She wants to grow me. She wants to develop me. And this is for the good of me, but also for the good of the organization. So the first thing that I'm often setting up when I'm setting up a culture of feedback is tell the business, tell your team that, you know what, we haven't done feedback enough. And I know that's my fault as a leader. We haven't incorporated it. And I want to be able to make sure that I'm supporting you, developing you and growing you. So we're going to give feedback more often. And it's going to be developmental and it's going to be motivational and it's going to help you. Okay. So that's the first step. Let's set the scene. The second thing is we need to be able to provide the models for feedback. We need to be able to give the leaders the tool, because a lot of the time leaders will go, I don't want to give this feedback. What happens if they get upset with it? What happens if they cry? What happens if they become disengaged? What happens if they resign? Okay. So I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to put my head in the sand and I hope it goes away. Well, guess what? It won't go away.
No, it won't. Get and worse. It doesn't.
It'll get bigger. It'll get bigger. So really it's about providing the tools, and there is this brilliant model around feedback called the IDEA model. It's called IDEA, okay? So the first one is the I is we're going to identify the specific behavior that requires feedback, okay? Let's say the behavior is that they're turning up late on a Monday morning. Every Monday they're turning up late, or they're having a sick day every Friday, whatever it is, let's say that. So that's the behavior I want to talk about. So Jesse, I want to talk to you about coming in late for the last 4 Mondays. I'm discussing the behavior. Okay. The D is describe the impact. Okay. So Jesse, when you're in late, what that means is our phones aren't manned. It means that we've got people waiting. It means that we can't get patients into the room. It means that some of the dentists are not ready to go, whatever it might be. What's the impact? Is it impacting our brand? Are we getting more complaints? Well, what's happening? What's the impact? Okay. So we've described the behavior. We're now focused on the impact. The E is I want to explore with you how we can change that, okay? So what I want to do is I want to understand it. Can you help me understand what's going on, okay? I want to be curious here, okay, because what could be happening that I don't know is maybe their dog died. Maybe their mum's sick. Maybe their child's sick. Maybe they're breaking up with their husband or their wife. I don't know, okay? So I first want to explore. Can you help me understand what's actually going on? So I want to explore it with them before I jump in. The very next part is I actually want to walk out of here today with a really clear action on how we can move forward, okay? So IDEA. So we're exploring it with them and we're helping to come up. So I'm not saying I want you in on a Monday at 8:30. I'm actually saying, how do we work together, Jesse, to make sure that you're in on a Monday? Okay. So that's one model. There's many other leadership models out there, but what we've got to do is we've got to be able to give the leaders the tools and the models to go, oh, right, okay, so this is the behavior, this is the impact, this is how I can't go next, this is what I do next, and then we've got an outcome, yeah? We're giving them a framework. That makes people feel comfortable, that makes people feel confident, and it makes them feel braver to be able to have these conversations, okay? So whenever I have to give feedback, I love it. Because to me, it's like, okay, let's have a chat about this. Help me understand what's going on, okay? Because when I know, I can help. But if I don't know, then I can't help. But guess what? We're going to come up with a plan together because it's not just my plan. It's yours as well.
Yeah, I love that because then they're coming up with the ownership of it as well. When it's their idea, they're going to own it and implement it. Thank you so much, Kylie. That's really helpful because I know that there's a lot of people who will be thinking, love the idea of setting culture, love the idea of self-leadership, love the idea of empowering people and, you know, working collaboratively. But there's this little, you know, fly in the ointment I've got to deal with right now. Yeah. I've got a bit of a fire to put out. So that's really helpful. So thank you. Kylie, we have indeed covered a fair bit of territory today and I'm really grateful to you for that. I'm also really grateful for you offering to provide those resources. We'll certainly include that into the show notes. And ladies and gents, I'd really encourage you to go through that self-assessment. I'd encourage you to go through all of those sorts of things so you get an understanding, a handle on how you're going with these things in your practice. And of course, all progress begins with the truth, right? And the person that needs to hear the truth most of all is us. And so I think going through that process is going to be really helpful. Kylie, I guess as we wrap up, I wanted to firstly express my thanks and say how much I appreciate you coming on to our show today. But I also just wanted to ask you, you're in Brisbane on the north side. If I was driving, through Brisbane looking at a billboard and it had, we're near the airport or somewhere like that where there's lots of billboards and it had, the gospel according to Kylie, we could capture that on a billboard. What would the gospel according to Kylie say if we could paraphrase it down to a few bullet points? I know it's a bit hard to synthesize it down that far, but what would be a couple of key Kylie-isms?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. Okay. I've got a lot, but I'm going to keep it to a short one. My first one would be grow yourself to grow others, okay? That continuous self-growth, okay? And the second one is courage over comfort. Brené Brown talks about this, but I talk about as leaders, get comfortable being uncomfortable. It's when we're on that verge of uncomfortableness that we're growing, okay? So grow yourself to grow others, okay? And secondly, be comfortable being uncomfortable because you are on the verge of making a difference to the people around you, helping them and developing them and growing them to be the best that they can. That's what I really think leadership is all about.
I think there's a couple of really good pearls of wisdom there. And I've said this on the podcast before, but I'll share it with you just in case because it sounds weird if I have to add a special word in here. Brené Brown, I'm a big fan of her work and I often say I have an intellectual crush on Brené Brown. And I have to add the word intellectual because otherwise it just sounds a bit weird and creepy. I really admire her work and I think that courage over comfort I think is really great and getting uncomfortable, being uncomfortable and grow yourself to grow others, some absolute gems there. So, Kylie, I want to just once again say thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to come and talk to our audience, to help them become the best leader they can be, to grow their teams, to grow themselves, to grow their businesses, ultimately achieve the things they want out of life, and to be able to work with people and through people rather than working against people, I think is going to be really key. So from all of us here, my heartfelt thanks.
My absolute pleasure. It was great to be on and hopefully people can take some gold from what I've shared today and start to apply some of those things in their world and make a difference as a leader.
Oh, I absolutely guarantee it. There's so many pieces of gold there to pick up. So I'm sure that there'll be lots of things. So thank you once again.
My pleasure, Jesse.
Cheers.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.